Stream us on the official ESPN 97.5 app. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gal Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome in, sports mappers, to the fray that we call The Usual Suspects. If you are one of those usual suspects, you've been along for the ride since 1 o'clock. If not, you are joining us on SportsMap 94.1. We welcome you in, and we'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7, simulcasting on both ESPN 97.5 and 94.1. Raheel is here because Barry is out, so we appreciate him. If you've missed anything in the previous 2 hours, you have missed quite a lot. So go back and check Podcast Arena or ESPN975.com. See everything from the Suspects Have Talent Singing Challenge to try and win tickets to Journey and Def Leppard. Sigmund Bloom talking fantasy football. We talked some Astros. I don't think there's much to talk about in terms of Texans. Did you guys talk Texans this morning?
No, we haven't talked Texans all week.
It's kind of a nice little breather before the season starts.
Nothing.
Because, I mean, if you're worried about position battles, the one thing I said to Barry this week, I don't care who they cut and who they keep. What I care is watching the waiver wire to see some casualties based on salaries that can still play, whether it be running back, offensive line, wide receiver, maybe even secondary. But they kind of shored up the secondary a little bit. But if there are players out there floating that they could possibly bring in that could make them better, I'm all for that.
There's no cornerback out there, in my opinion, that would get cut that could potentially be a guy to put in, like, he's getting significant minutes because those are so hard to come by in the NFL now that why would you get rid of a corner like that? And that is one of their big needs right now. Other than that, the offensive line, you just kind of – you just wait and see what Deshaun can do and make everyone look better on offense. That's it. Whitney Mercilus, Will Fuller, those guys have no impact on preseason. Just get healthy, be ready for week one. The final wide receiver slot, maybe, if that gets you going.
Yeah, if Miller's going to make the team, where are they on Kuti and those guys? I mean, from a secondary perspective, they signed Kayvon Webster, coming off an Achilles, but he was a starting corner for the Rams. So maybe they don't worry about secondary as much now. Now you're worried about, can you improve the offensive line? Because Deshaun is your franchise and you've got to protect him. And a lot goes back to what Sigmund Bloom was saying about Lamar Miller. If he's going to have the season that people think he could have, he's got to have blocking.
Yeah.
So that's big. And then, like you said, I mean, what are they going to do at wide receiver? If it isn't one of those two guys, who is it going to be? Are they sold on Ellington? I see that Ellington has chemistry with Sean both on and off the field. Maybe that plays a big role. But we know for as much as we hang on Fuller for his hands, Ellington's had a problem catching the ball from time to time.
And you got
to
stay healthy. I said Ellington's going to be a guy because Deshaun looks for him so much that when you look up like midway through a season and everything's rolling, you go, what the heck? Bruce Ellington has 6 touchdowns right now? He's going to be one of those sneaky touchdown guys because he's always open for Deshaun when it matters.
I preface this by saying outside of the Houston area, Ellington is a guy in fantasy football leagues that people can be sneaky with that will get you points for what you just mentioned. Inside of the Houston area, everybody knows he's there. Everybody drafts Texans way too much because it's the home team. But outside, Ellington can be a guy because of the fact that people don't pay attention to him. They just worry about D-Hop.
Yeah. And I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, by the way, giving them tickets to the Texans-Cowboys fourth preseason game.
Man.
That's not something you go and give like, hey, man, you guys want to go? You give that to an enemy and you go, hey, I got you tickets.
You better be fighting in the parking lot tonight?
No.
Because it's ridiculous that the only reason why that you have to have a ticket to be on the grounds to tailgate is because of the fights that happened between Texans fans and Cowboys fans when that happened a few years ago back here. Most people at least have the realistic approach. This game means nothing. Week 5 when they play again will mean something. But it's still ridiculous because you talk to Cowboy fans and they don't think it's even a rivalry with the Texans. But Texans fans get all jacked up for the Cowboys.
Yeah. I like games like this. You go in the tailgating area and say, oh, did you guys hear what they were saying about you? And then you go start beef and then you just walk away.
So you pull a Barry or a Granado?
Yeah, a bleep starter.
As long as it doesn't involve you, you start it, you stir it, and then you walk away.
I'm just here for the entertainment. And then
who doesn't?
Hey, climb on, brother.
Climb on, brother. Who doesn't? I'm going to be over here drinking. You guys fight. I'll watch.
My dude, John, is living his best life, by the way. He's going Oklahoma State, Missouri State tonight, and his boy is going to be playing in that, hopefully.
Is he starting?
He's not starting. He's not starting, but
he's sophomore?
He should. No, this is senior year, I believe.
No way.
Yeah, junior. No, hold on.
Yeah,
junior.
No. Yeah, I think junior might be right.
Because last year was,
When he transferred out of Rice, did he lose eligibility?
No, he didn't, because he went to Missouri State, so he was eligible to play right away.
Okay.
And he should get some time tonight because it's Oklahoma State taking on Missouri State, so should be out of hand pretty soon. So he's going there. Then he's going to the TCU game tomorrow on Saturday.
Oh.
And then he's going to LSU Miami on Sunday.
That's a good game.
And then Monday he's home. So he's taking full advantage of college football. And I love that. So
how's he getting all these games? Chad Clay?
Yo, man, the bench. It's the bench money.
Wow.
I'm just trying to get that residual fall-off money.
Man, cashing in on that?
That's what I try to do.
I'm trying. Like, I couldn't even get to Texas, Maryland because my wife was like, well, maybe we should go on a different weekend because it's a little expensive right now. And I was like, well, Texas won't be playing Maryland
right
then.
Right.
But and then we have football tonight, too. Shout out to all my people driving to College Station.
Yeah.
Texas A&M opening up.
Northwest Louisiana?
Yeah, Northwestern State.
Northwestern State
in
Louisiana.
Something like that.
Yeah. That should be over quickly.
Big rivalry.
Interested to see what kind of roster they have, though, just to see what Jimbo's able to do. I don't know if you saw that or not, but, like, Jalen Ramsey went on another rant, and he was bashing on Jimbo. And you know, I guess Jimbo wasn't in favor of starting him as a freshman, and he still holds that against him. And he just said, yeah, he was okay. But and then when they put out all the paraphernalia that comes out about Jimbo's coaching staff and all the DBs that they've put out there, and they put Jalen Ramsey's picture, and he had a real problem with that, wanted him to remove it. So
that guy had nothing to do with my success. I love that. So the Jimbo era gets going tonight. And, A&M fans, you get your game done early.
Some good games, though, this weekend, though.
Yeah,
when you look at it, the fact that Auburn plays Washington, the Miami game is a big game. So there's some good games to watch this weekend. That's good.
Your schedule plays out perfect. 11 a.m., depending on who you root for. For me, of course, it's Texas. I'm pumped to watch my team. And then you got all your good games are slated perfectly. Mm-hmm. The Auburn game is 2:30.
Yep.
Then you got Michigan-Notre Dame at 6:30.
Which should be another good game.
It should be a great game.
Yep.
And then you got, if you want to watch Alabama and see what their quarterback situation looks like, that game kicks at 7.
Okay.
And then Monday, of course, you end with the Labor Day Classic. You got Florida State in action against Virginia Tech. So it's good watching this weekend.
Yeah, good. Can't NCAA, wait. Kudos for getting that first week matchups, the first weekend of the season with these kickoff classics and such, where you get better competition than just seeing blowouts. So that's always fun. So we know that the Texans and Cowboys are playing tonight at Reliant. Then the cuts will come. And pretty much in earnest, everybody plays tonight. Yep. This is the last night of preseason, so teams can make cuts. And, of course, we've got the Astros tonight as Justin Verlander's on the hill to take on the Angels. They have a 2.5-game lead over Oakland. With that being said, Clarence is on hold. He wants to talk Astros, so let's get Clarence in here. Clarence, what's up?
What up, guys?
What's up, man?
Nothing much. You know, y'all know I'm not a big baseball guy. I just started paying attention more to the Astros, just started watching the couple of games. He's had two games against the A's when first Ozuna blew it, and then last night when he made a perfect breaking ball pitch to end the ninth inning. And I have more of a question. If the Red Sox and the Astros make it to the ALCS, or just imagine they played right now in the ALCS, who would win that series?
Just
with the roster that they have.
Roster and then home field right now will go to Boston, so that is a big part of it.
That's a big thing. Yeah. My big thing, Clarence, is the pitching, the starting pitching. David Price got hurt last night. You already got Chris Sale back on the disabled list with arm problems. And Chris Sale is their ace upon all aces, and he was the leading candidate for Cy Young before he got hurt the first or the second time. He probably still will win it. But overall, I think the depth in starting pitching for the Astros is a huge, huge bonus for Houston. I think that their lineup is obviously starting to hit again, although, you know, you look at Boston's lineup and you look at Mookie Betts and you look at J.D. Martinez and you look at the guys that they have, it's a lot more even than it was a year ago when these two teams met in the playoffs. But I say even if with the Red Sox have home field, I think that the Astros win that series.
Yep. They've shown that they can go up there and win in Boston, by the way. They went there and said, we got
this. Next weekend, Astros at Red Sox, followed by the Sunday night game, Sunday late game, which is Texans-Patriots.
No, Texans-Patriots is the morning game.
Oh, that's the morning game. It's 12 o'clock. Sunday night baseball is the Texans and Red Sox. So, yeah, if you're a Houston fan and you want to travel and a sports fan, that's the weekend to go to Boston. Oh, man, you can catch the Texans and the Patriots, and then you can catch Red Sox and the Astros at Fenway Park. That's living right, brother. Dude. When Grano really wants to be a big baller, pull that off.
100% he will be there. I guarantee it he will be there.
Life is
John
good
loves a good event, like a good big event.
And he loves having good friends that can make it all happen.
Hey, man, just got to find the right friends. Just got to find the right friends.
Yeah, and the right pot to stir. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects. It's Nick, it's Raheel, it's Joel. Appreciate you being along for the ride. SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number three of the big show. SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. It's Nick, it's Joel, and Barry out doing comedy in Kansas. Because he is in Kansas, not in Kansas anymore. So with him and Dorothy hanging out in Kansas, Raheel is here. We appreciate him today and tomorrow. Tomorrow we're at Carbach Brewing. They're off of 290 at 610. Stop by and see us as we kick off the football weekend with a Charlie Polillo, Usual Suspects, and Blitz World Tour at Carbach Brewing.
Jealous about.
Yeah, I mean, telling you what, great.
The food is legit there.
Great
seriously.
Food, great beverages, great environment and atmosphere. Stop by and see us starting at 11 all the way till 7.
I had their risotto last time. Okay. That was delicious.
Whatever we had there was fantastic last time we were there. Because we had, I want to say we had an appetizer and then their chicken.
Chicken wings or something.
And they had a chicken breast platter or something like that, but it was really good.
Yeah.
I'm sure the salt grass that you had and didn't bring any for Joel and I was delicious as well.
Which you guys were invited to, but I'm glad you guys didn't accept.
We have a show that we prepared for.
Because if all three of us would have gone, then the show would have it just would not have started. That's the problem. So I appreciate you guys taking the bullet today and letting me go eat at Saltgrass Steakhouse.
Because normally the bullet is what John drinks, right?
Yeah.
The silver bullet. Yeah, got it.
Okay. It's the only beer that will let you know when it's cold.
So you have information based on the press conference that was just wrapping up at Minute Maid Park about one A.J. Hinch.
A.J. Hinch, who was rumored to be taking the Angels' job at the end of the year. Which is one of my favorite rumors. Like, when you go back, who was it? Was it Buster who tweeted that? Remember that?
Buster had the tweet in which he said that A.J. Hinch would be a leading candidate for the Angels' job at the end of the year. And if he's not, then Brad Ausmus would be.
Well, let me tell you, like you can be a leading candidate. That's fine. Like we can all make something a leading candidate, but that doesn't mean that the love is reciprocated.
Right.
Like Shakira is my leading candidate to be my next wife, right?
Yep.
And I've told my real wife this.
Wow.
Yeah.
She knows.
She knows. She knows my love for Shakira. Son,
okay.
Shakira.
Wow. Did you go to the concert the other night?
I did not go to the concert. I did not go.
You should have told me.
No, I didn't go. I should have asked you, but
helped
you. I don't like going weekday concerts because then it gets
It's
late. But I was there for the Dallas All-Star game when she performed 2009, and I did my best to run into her, and I couldn't. Like, security was so tight.
Well, if you did your best, you wouldn't run into her. You could run into her from behind, and you'd probably be your best man.
Yo, I mean, she's tiny, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
She's like 5'4", 5'4", 5'5".
She has a lot
of
assets.
9 years ago, so she's probably slowed down. You might have a better chance in catching her this time.
No,
she's
still selling out stadiums, and she still has security.
She has a lot of assets.
Yeah. So what was leading candidates. The Angels might have thought, like, hey, that could be our Shakira, but I don't think A.J. Hinch ever considered that.
You know, it's interesting because, Lisa's from California, so Lisa's like, well, we were talking about it, and she goes, well— but L.A. and Cali, and he's got connections back there, too. And you want to be, I said, but he's got too much of a good thing to not screw it up. You know, AJ and Fred were talking about Mike and Mike last night, and they were talking about the fact that, you know, regardless of whether you get along or not, if you're getting paid to what Mike and Mike were getting paid, you just find a way to make that work and keep going, because nowhere else are you going to make $5 to $10 million a year just to talk on the radio. Yeah. Same thing with AJ Hinch and Luna. When you think about it, so many coaches want to believe that they want more input in a roster, so they want to go somewhere else. So many general managers are so worried about, hey, I built this team, I should get more credit than the manager, and then they end up breaking up a really good thing. To both of their credit now, and both of them are locked up now long term, the way they both appreciate analytics, the shift, everything seems to be chemistry working the right way. Kudos to Jim Crane to make sure he recognized that. He takes care of those guys. And because of the fact, and I heard Charlie talking about this, that you're going to have these core four guys and most of these guys around for the next 3 to 4 years, keep those same guys in place so they can keep putting other guys around them if they have to and keep doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this team can be looked at down the road when you look back as one of like a Spurs or a Patriots type dynasty where they kept getting had a chance every year.
And AJ's here till 2022. The deal is 4 years, so that is all taken care of. And you know that's the whole thing, right? L.A. or wherever, Austin.
And like, Anaheim, I want to go back. Traffic is more than a half hour outside of L.A.
Well, here's the thing: L.A. is always going to be there. Anaheim will always be there, right?
That's a good point, because managers' longevity is almost until you die.
Yeah. So why would you strive as a manager, as a coach, to fall into a situation where you are competing every single year with a group of guys that you love being around? The way AJ Hinch talks about this team, his fascination with this team, the way he manages them, and the way they're receptive to his management style, why would you ever leave that for a chance to go manage in a city that will always be there? Whether it be managed or living there. Oh, it's L.A. L.A. will be there when he's done winning 5 rings or 4 rings or getting to multiple World Series. That's always there.
Think about, go right down the list. From Don Zimmer to Dick Williams to Jim Leland. If you want to, you can manage till you're on your deathbed and you'll have opportunities. So you also make a good point. Look, the Angels aren't going anywhere. Their franchise is still going to be there. You're still going to have opportunities to be able to manage elsewhere. But why would you walk away from this? Any manager would be killing right now to be in position to have this team for the next 3 to 4 years. Because what they've proven, too, which is unlike the Drayton McClain Astros, is when they have a need, they go out and address it. See Justin Verlander. See the fact that they are always kicking the tires to improve where they need to so that they consistently stay a winning franchise. It's taken a while to get there, but once they got there, they want to make sure they're not going anywhere.
Our dude, Jarrett Cole. Do you need to add another guy? No, you probably didn't. You just came off a World Series.
And Osuna. You had McHugh and and McCullers and all the guys that Morton, you had in the starting lineup. I mean, as starters for this lineup. And you thought, well, do I really need somebody? Yeah, in a year if Keuchel walks, I might need to address that. But they addressed it before the situation became a very, very top of mind and important. And they got a guy that they can hang on to now for a while.
And that's why that report never made sense to me. Was like, huh, why would you even link? Well, you know, that obviously came from the Angel side of things, where they're trying to link themselves to AJ Hinch and not the AJ Hinch camp, because it would make no sense. You're giving up 5 prime years. Like, you have 5 legit opportunities to make a run to the World Series and win it all. This core is set up for that. And you would leave to go manage Albert Pujols in year 78?
Well, thank God Albert Pujols went arthroscopic surgery yesterday. He's out for the year, but he'll come back slower than ever next year,
AJ Hinch could leave here after 2022 and still manage Albert Pujols, by the way.
Because they're still paying him.
Dude,
yeah,
how many years is left on that?
Deacon's all worried about, like, why would anybody take California? Because there's no state tax here. The income is different. Some people have different priorities. And you know that if they want him, look, just consider this. If AJ Hinch continues to win, everyone's going to want him. And if they want him, they're going to be willing to pay him. And so whatever you think that you're getting by having a bargain, by staying in Houston as opposed to going to L.A., believe me, the L.A. teams are willing to pay more to get you, keep you, and make that even out. That's not a problem. See Magic Johnson and the Dodgers. See the way they've done things. See the way they brought in Manny Machado and all the guys that they continue to bring in to try and win? That's not a problem. It's not an issue.
I bet Deacon's never been to L.A., though, man. You tell me, look, I love Houston. This is my city. I love it, okay? I grew up here. But if you said you have the same job making the, you know, equivalent, same money, and you get to live in the same lifestyle, everything, and you said L.A.
I hate the traffic or, there, man.
Oh, man, I'd just be a beachside. I hate it. I would deal with the traffic. I'd deal with traffic here.
I just hate it.
The traffic here sucks, too. But, man, L.A.
All right.
No, but I love Houston, guys.
More insight on Raheel than we needed to know.
So you hate Houston.
LA guy. Yeah, so Raheel, Houston, right? If you missed it and you want a synopsis of this last segment of the show, Raheel hates Houston, loves L.A.
That's what we did to Barry.
Hate's a strong word.
You wearing your Dodger blue when the playoffs start?
No, I'll tell you a story about L.A. gear that I got in trouble for.
Okay.
I'll tell you all.
All right. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back with the final half hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. 30 minutes on the clock. Sports Map 94.1, ESPN 97.5, The Usual Suspect. Ask you what you laughing at.
I see you there. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's been fun. We got 30 minutes still to go in the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Thursday. It's Raheel in for Barry as Barry is doing his comedy tour in Kansas. Nick's here. I'm here. A reminder again tomorrow at Carbach Brewing on 290 right off 610. The Carbach headquarters is fantastic. You can look right there and see the brewery next door. Restaurant is unbelievable. The beverages are fantastic. Charlie's going to be there. We're going to be there. And the Blitz is going to be there. So check that out tomorrow if you have time or get off of work early. Stop on by.
I would like to buy you and Nick a gift as a thank you for letting me join you guys for today and tomorrow. I appreciate you guys having me on. You could have picked anybody. All right. But you guys picked me for two straight days, and I appreciate that. I would like to buy you guys a gift. Is that okay? You guys cool with that?
I'm open to
depends
that.
Depends on what it is. I'm not as overzealous as Nick.
You think he's up to something?
Yes.
I can. I know what size you are because we've discussed. I know what size you are.
I'm not wearing a onesie or all that other stuff that you wear.
No. I would get you something that is hot, trendy right now.
That's okay? Also very scary.
The lacy bras for men?
I'll pass. See, I told you, Nick.
I knew it was going somewhere. I just didn't know where exactly. Is that a new thing?
That is a new thing. Out in the UK, you can buy lacy underwear and sleepwear, especially for men. Here's my dude. Hold on. This is...
Oh, come on, man.
My dude rocking a lacy bra.
You should retweet that.
You're considering it?
I'm not... Okay,
you
I'm not,
are the
okay.
fashion-forward guy.
Absolutely. He hesitated.
Over here.
I'm
what was that jumper thing called that you would...
The romper.
And you wore one?
I wore one.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I'm not going to knock it before I try it, all right? I'm just saying.
Well, you so you're open.
I'm just saying, I didn't like the Whopper because I was like, well, it's the Whopper. I'm a Big Mac guy. I tried the Whopper. I love it. So what if we
so
like
you're
going to
try
bras?
A man bra?
I don't know. What?
Dude, come on.
How
man.
Can you make a judgment without
draw
trying
the line
it?
In the sand somewhere? I'm fine with the Skola headbands. I'm fine with your Lululemon. I'm fine with the
skinny sweats.
Well, that's another thing, but that's fine.
Well, you mentioned it all the time.
He can
I
pull
just
it
figured
off, so it's fine. I'm fine with the skinny alterations on the suits, but the man bra thing, you got to draw the line somewhere.
So we were teasing. I was teasing Joel about bringing back the fanny pack, and apparently that's making a comeback.
Yeah, I wear one. When you
do
work
you
out,
really?
That was the first
phone?
Thing that we were going to say.
Where do you put your
I don't
phone
bring
when you work
my
out?
Phone. Oh, you know what? I either when don't you, bring it in the gym, or I either leave it in the locker, or I leave it out where I put my keys.
What do you listen? What do you listen to then?
I don't have.
You don't
to
need
listen
music.
Music.
I need
and
music.
They have music in the.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, where do you got their? They've got their arm. You know the little arm iPhone carrier things that you can kind of wrap around your arm.
Yeah.
And,
good luck doing bicep curls. Yeah,
exactly. That. And if Raheel's already said he's very vain about his arms, he's got to do curls. He can't put it there.
AirPods.
No, but
you still
need a source.
Have a device.
You can put the phone on the ground or somewhere else and still
have
it connected.
Oh, now we're
you might as well just throw in a toilet.
Wrap it in a towel.
Now Barry's here. Now we're talking about germs.
No, that is disgusting.
I don't wear the 90s fanny pack. They're workout fanny packs.
Like the Euro one?
No. It's a slim cut. Okay, now see, I sound stupid saying it. Yeah. I caught myself saying slim
cut. Go ahead.
Cut.
Don't finish the
thought. Slim cut fanny pack.
Okay.
It's a slimline fanny pack.
It's a slim cut.
Featuring three pockets and a zipper.
But skinny fanny pack. It's built for running and working out. Like the phone stays it stays snug in there.
Taut.
Yeah. It's a really cool fanny pack. I'll show you guys.
Bring it.
And I rock it. I don't
Nick
tuck
makes
it.
Fun of
I
us
rock
all the
it.
Time
I don't care.
That.
Yeah, saw, I do know it's making a comeback.
You saw
but
Nike
I just,
made the slides that had the fanny pack yeah. built in. That
that's
was the
cool.
thing. Tyler and I were talking
you
about that.
You can put
that.
Money in it when you go to yeah. the beach and whatnot. Yeah,
yeah
that's
or like your
nice.
Credit card and you depending yeah. on your phone or your yeah, your whatever you put it in there,
and don't be talking down on Lululemon. You know who else?
I'm not. I wasn't cutting Lululemon. I know you're a Lululemon fan.
You know who else is a Lululemon model? Tyler White.
Oh come on!
I swear, Tyler White did that photo shoot with me. I'll show you a picture. Here,
Lululemon makes dad bod stuff.
Lululemon makes clothes for everybody.
Here
Joel.
We go. I don't need a commercial. I know you. You get here. Your gear free.
That's his picture. That was him.
Oh, he looks more streamlined there.
Yeah, it's well, you know, the clothing.
He's gotten
accents.
More comfortable. Yeah. In his Astros uniform now that he's getting playing time, he's filled out a little
you
bit.
You don't have to stay healthy. You know, you don't have to stay on a diet when you're on the
How
major
would they
league.
Get him to do that when he wasn't really a prevalent? He wasn't really like a fixture on the roster yeah. yet.
There were, you know, I'm sure that's why he probably did it. Like Carlos Correa is not going to do it because of right. endorsement stuff. Mattress Mack was also in this. Your man, Mattress Mack, was
He's
in it.
My guy.
Scott from HEB was in it. Okay. And then Raheel from ESPN 975. They're like, wow, look at these great stories. And there's me.
So we know you'll rock the fanny pack, but would you rock the Merce?
I used to at one point. Well, it was a satchel.
A Barry Warner Merce?
No, not like that. Not yeah. like no.
He,
it was
he
a,
goes full blown with the yeah. thin strap that
you don't
can
remember
put
my
between
Merce?
Your boobies. No, I don't.
I used to bring it to Rockets games, but it's not a Merce.
I was working at that yeah. time. I wasn't like looking you up and down, like checking what fashion you were bringing.
Oh well, thank
unless
well.
You guys
I guess
were
my
shooting,
efforts, my efforts.
Unless
went
you
wasted.
Guys were shooting your podcast videos on the floor mm-hmm. after games.
10 years later, people are still doing that.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
they really are.
No, it was just a satchel, you know, big enough to put a laptop in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't a small bag. I mean, like, it was a good-sized bag. But
like a computer
you put it across,
bag. Like
yeah.
a computer bag size.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, that's all right. But it was a Gucci one. Jeez. A Moochie one, let's be honest. Bought it from
Harwin?
Canal Street. No, Canal Street,
okay.
New York.
All right.
I wasn't making any
I'll
money.
I'll never forget when we went to that trip I was talking about earlier about when the Rockets and Kings played in China. Every guy on our roster was clamoring to get to the quote-unquote spot. Where they did they were either knockoffs or stolen, but there was like a random remote, quote unquote, mall, but it was five stories of nothing but knockoffs and potentially like illegally
obtained yeah.
stuff. But like we had guys buying full sets of Louis Vuitton luggage. Rolex,
Wait,
all the
NBA guys or
NBA back, guys were clamoring for that stuff
for the fake stuff.
Why?
Because if it was a good enough knockoff or if it was just stolen, they didn't care. Because when they rolled up in the airport and they pulled out all the Louis luggage, it looked right.
But why? I mean, they could afford it.
I know.
That's strange.
We laughed between me and Bill Worrell and all the guys. Those knockoff Rolex watches. Not only did they last for like 10 years. But when I took it to the jeweler, like to have a link taken out of the band, they're like, "Wow, this is a great watch. We see very few of these, but this is really good." And I'm like, "Come on, man! I'm expecting you to be like, would you pay for this $25?" But some of the jeweler guys were like, "Yeah, this is great." It was fooling them, so I'm like, "I'm good with it."
Yeah, that bag that I bought, like everyone thought it was real, and I would feel bad after because I didn't want people to think, like, "Oh my God, he's spending that much on a bag." So I would let them know that's fake.
Oh, would you? Oh, I was rolling with the watches being like, yeah, go ahead. Think what you want to think, but I like it. It's a good look.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
So I put this on Twitter yesterday. It got 50-50. It's a poll. Would you rather drop 20 points in a game or grab 20 rebounds?
20 points easy.
You're going 20 points?
Yeah.
You're going 20 rebounds?
Probably.
I'm going 20 rebounds.
Why? Because it's more of a monumental feat to have 20 rebounds in a game?
Harder to do.
I could still
20 rebounds is crazy.
At our size, it's not going to happen. It's unrealistic.
That's what I'm saying. But if you know, not what you could do, but what would you rather have? Like,
I'm
in
still
a game,
a points guy.
Points
but
guy.
I think I would go more than 20. But yeah, I mean, I'd go points.
I'd go rebounds, man. 20 rebounds is dope.
Think about it. At the end of the day, and I know, again, it's not like a career-wise, but you think about the greatest scorers in history are put at a certain level. Mm-hmm. The greatest rebounds in history, think about Dennis Rodman. He's never going to have any, because it's all people just, they don't remember
and
rebounds.
And there's great scorers that can rebound well, too. So.
But Dennis Rodman, when we talk about him, that dude legit impacted the game with just rebounding.
He did.
How
Ben
many
Wallace,
scores?
Though. Yeah. Ben Wallace is a guy cleaned the glass. But is he going to be ever considered for Hall of Fame and all those other things? Probably not.
Man. He's going to be remembered for rebounding and the hair. Those are the
and
two things.
And he wanted, winning at least one championship with the Pistons.
Shutting down Shaq by just fronting him.
Boy, he was a strong dude, Big Ben. But yeah, I mean, but he's never going to get the same. My point is, though, he's never going to get the same kind of accolades, attention as a scorer.
But okay, would a guy who averaged 20 points in the NBA get the same accolades? Because there's a list of guys who average 20 points, and you go,
Here's your caveat. If you're playing on a bad team, which would mean that you would be the only representative for all-star teams, et cetera, that 20 points meant more, it would mean more at the end of your career towards... We're talking about Ginobili now.
Mm-hmm.
Ginobili was only like a two-time all-star, but he played on a great, great team. The flip side of that is if you're a 20-plus point-a-game scorer, but you're not... But you're getting a lot of all-star looks and things like that because of the fact that you're playing on a bad team, at least part of your career, you get more attention for that than you would playing on a good team where you might score less. But overall, at the end of the day, the other thing you don't have is hopefully you pull the veteran move and you try and win one late because that's the one thing that they'll criticize you for, like Tracy McGrady. You scored all your points on bad teams, but when it came down to winning, did you ever win it? Did you ever win playoff games? Did you ever win a title? That was a big thing.
Gilbert Arenas, 20.68 points per game for his career.
Hibachi!
Here are some other ones. Elvin Hayes.
Hall of Famer, though.
Yeah. Glenn Robinson.
And he won titles. Chris Big Dog, no.
No. Clyde Drexler is on that list.
Okay.
But again, I'm going strictly points per game, and I know that's kind of skewed because a lot of times towards the end of their careers, you're putting up like 8 points a game.
Right.
That's ruined
Averages
everything.
Averages go down and ruins everything.
Yeah, but this is just clean. I'm looking at some other ones. Mike Mitchell.
Spur.
Mike Mitchell, 19.78. Klay Thompson right now, 19 points. Stephon Marbury, 19.
Marbury was the guy I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Now, as a contributor... Marbury's Hall of Fame, no doubt, because of the Starbury and because of his fame in China.
He might get in. He's one of the most famous
people.
He
has a statue in China at the arena where they play all their biggest games. He is a hero superstar. He is Michael Jordan of China.
Yeah.
Without question.
Agreed. Tracy McGrady. That's another one, 19.6.
And he's in the Hall of Fame. All right. By the way, OU Mike chimed in again. Hey, Raheel, it's Johnny Weir. We should all go shopping with Barry at Forever 21.
I would never shop at Forever 21.
Barry would.
I know he would. Okay. I would never. I've had this argument with Barry off air.
Okay.
I judge him.
Abercrombie?
No, I'm not in high school.
Barry would absolutely shop at. That's ridiculous.
I heard him talking about his bargain hunting at Abercrombie, and I'm like, yo, are you going to prom later this year? You going to the football game? Did you buy a mum for homecoming yet, Barry?
You know what? Why do people always have to spoil it trying to be... someone texted in, I'm willing to bet 20 points in an NBA game is just as unlikely as 20 rebounds for any of you guys, regardless of your size. And I'm willing to bet that you can be a real ass clown when it comes to texting, because it was just hypothetical. It's just having some fun.
Even in a pickup game or a rec game.
I can do that.
I would drop. I would love getting 20 rebounds.
I would.
Because like 20...
The 20 points is easy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we've done it, right?
Yeah.
Like, 20 rebounds, though, is a... F you to the other team.
But in a rec league, you're going to take some serious abuse doing it.
Yeah.
There's going to be elbows and teeth and all kinds of stuff. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We got one segment to go in the big show. We're going to wrap it up, turn it over to the Blitz, and they'll take you home till 7 o'clock. It's SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the big show. We're having a good time. Hopefully you are too. Raheel's here today and tomorrow with Barry out doing some comedy in Kansas.
Final segment?
Yeah.
I thought we just started.
Flew by, right? Well, that's what happens fun. When you're not on time. You get a little behind. You get a little behind.
I was 1 minute late. So right now it's 3:47, so it's 3:46 for me because I'm a minute behind. Right?
Well, but you also know we do this thing called prep where we actually sit, discuss, talk about things, kind of line up the show. Nick figures out segment by segment what we're going to do. You were nowhere to be found.
I started my prep. I started my prep at 6 a.m.
Yeah, for a different show.
No, but I mean, we're still prepping.
You're not communicating with us to know what Nick feels like a good time to bring in the Astros or the Texans or this story or that story.
Didn't even ask.
Nope. No.
Didn't even consider.
Didn't care.
I'm going to let the quarterback do that. You just tell me, hey, wide receiver, run this route and I'll run it. I'm going to let you and coach game plan. Okay. And then I'll be, I'll just roll in and
well, since you were 3 minutes late to our show, does that mean you bleed over into the Blitz? Is the Blitz going to have you for an additional 3 minutes at the beginning of their show or no?
I hope, and I get to say, and the Blitz is on.
No, that's not your part.
Yeah, it's not.
That would be Fred.
Know your role. You beat John Paxson. Know your role.
Greatest show in the history of the known A, universe, B, Earth, C, galaxy.
A, easy.
There you go.
Without question.
Without a doubt.
Can I tomorrow do your intro?
Don't burp either, if you want.
I can do it?
Yeah.
You have to say, what up, H-Town?
If you're on town.
You have to sound just like Joel.
If you're on time.
He's all excited. He's like,
I'm going to do it.
Or you could save it for the third hour because we kind of replay that intro. Whatever
okay,
you want
to do. I'll do it tomorrow. But I'm going to put my twist on it. But we'll do it tomorrow.
I don't think anybody asked you to put your twist on it.
But I have to. That's my way of making my mark.
Well, then maybe we won't let you do it. Hey, you guys remember that Saturday Night Live skit when Peyton Manning was still a big deal when he did the whole fake United Way commercial where he started playing pickup football with the kids and just abused them, like drilling balls off their head and their backside and talking crap to them?
Yeah, yeah.
So recently, he did a speaking engagement where he told the backstory of the whole notion of doing this whole skit and the fact that he didn't feel right hitting these kids and how much backlash he had gotten from people over the years who thought that they were real footballs he was hitting them with. It sounded a little something like this.
These footballs were Nerf footballs with the Nerf cutout. They were as light as a feather, but they put those sound effects with it. It looks like you were just knocking these kids out. And I remember the director said, Peyton, you're a charitable guy. This is a spoof the United Way. That's why it's going to be funny. But it's only going to work if you're all in. I mean, you got to whack these kids right in the head. And I kept saying, my mother's going to be so disappointed when she sees this. And I finally, these kids were all child actors. Their parents were out there watching the whole time. It was very awkward and uncomfortable. And I finally told the director, I said, you know what? I just can't do it. I can't do it. I said, I will go up to the edge. This feels over the edge. I'm not comfortable. And he said, no problem. We don't have to do it. We don't want you to do anything out of your comfort zone. And right then, I cannot make this up, one of the parents of the child actors runs out onto the set and tells the director, I want him to hit my kid in the face. And I said, I will do it. I will knock your kid out. You know? So.
And if you remember that.
It was so good.
I went back and watched it again before the show. Just hilarious. He made the one kid stay in the porta potty for 20 minutes, and the kid peeked out, and he says, get back in there, shut the door. And the other one that just he drills him in the nuts, and the other one he hits him in the head. And it's, that was some good stuff.
I could listen to behind-the-scenes SNL stories all day long, especially from hosts that did it. Man, yeah. It's fascinating to me.
The after parties are supposed to be like all world off the hook. Like they go all night. And because even the regulars on the show said, and especially the hosts, because they're so nervous because they haven't done it before like that for the most part. They said that the adrenaline rush, that when you want to unload and just release after getting through the whole show, that's why those parties are epic.
Yeah. And it's so hard to get a sketch on SNL because if, let's say they air 9 sketches, there's probably 30 sketches that they worked on and a bunch of them got cut right before during dress rehearsal. Yeah. So there's a show I listened to, which is on Sirius XM, Ron Bennington, the Bennington show. And they always have comedians from New York on, and they always talk about behind the scenes and what it's like dress rehearsal time and getting your sketch cut. And, you know, with the host, like Peyton Manning just doesn't show up on Saturday.
No, it's a week-long thing.
It's a week
long. Because, you know, Charles Barkley's done it a number of times, and we talked to him about it too. It's like he takes it super serious because, like you said, there's going to be a lot of skits that don't even end up making it, but you got to memorize your lines. Yep. You got to do the right thing at the right time. And then the other thing they said that was epic is whoever the musical guest was would just do impromptu songs afterwards.
Oh,
or like I saw an interview Bill Murray did with Willie Geist a couple weekends ago, and Bill Murray does not – in order to reach Bill Murray, he doesn't have a he has a voicemail. He doesn't have a cell phone or anything like that. You have to call and leave Bill Murray a message, and if he likes the message and he thinks it's a valid idea, whether it be for an acting gig or whatever, he'll call you back. If he doesn't, just take it as he's not interested.
Man.
And he said that some of the things were like – some of the epic things were hearing the Rolling Stones in the dress rehearsals not comfortable and not happy with the way a certain song sounded. So they would just keep performing in front of just like 12 people. And he's like, that's just awesome,
man,
to see that over the years. So, yeah, that whole Saturday Night Live thing, and it's been going a long time, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and then the audition that you do for Lorne Michaels is supposed to be one of the most nerve-wracking, impossible things. So when comedians actually make it, they're just like, how? How is that possible? Because it didn't, you know, like, he's so hard to crack. So
well, that's what we want for our guy Barry, because Barry, and a lot of times, like, you'll find out again with tomorrow with FEI Friday, when we have a certain comedian that we're featuring, the comedian will have a laundry list of things that they've done and shows they've worked on. But if it's like where it used to be, where you were on the Tonight Show and you got to do your stand up, you were a big deal. But if you write for Saturday Night Live, man, that's a welcome open card to do a whole lot more than that. So there's no doubt about it. Is this one of your usuals? Or Mito wants to get in here on Jordan 11s. What's up?
What up, fellas, man? I know y'all trying to get out of there, so I'm going to make it quick. Them 11s that are dropping in December, are y'all going to get them or not? A lot of people saying no because they got the 45 on the back. But like I told them, hey, you can finesse them and say, hey, those are for the Colt 45s. Those are the Colt 45 Jordans right there.
What's the colorway?
Yeah, it's the Concords, the black and whites.
Yeah.
Oh, so I got married in those.
Yeah, so those are the ones. Lows. Yeah, I've seen the picture.
Yeah,
those are the ones. But they're re-releasing it because they are the Jordan comeback ones, the Concords. So okay. It has 45 on it. Which
but those
is
are
the
high tops.
High tops, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly the same shoe, but on the back, instead of the Jordan logo or no logo, it has number 45. Similar to what the Space Jams were.
Okay.
Barry that released those. Last year.
I got enough of the 11s black and white colorway, so I don't need those as well, especially because I got to believe the starting price is going to be around $2,250.
$220.
Close enough.
Yeah.
There you go. Split the difference. All right, hey, man, we appreciate it, and we're going to do it again tomorrow. We had so much fun. So Raheel is going to be here tomorrow. We're at Carbach Brewing off of 290 by 610. Pretty convenient for anybody in the gallery or downtown. Swing on by, catch a little happy hour with us. Charlie's going to start the festivities off at 11. Blitz will finish it at 7. We'll be in between. So make sure you make it a part of your day if you can to kick off the football season. And as always, stay tuned for the Blitz. They're next. Fred, Jong, AJ, they'll take you home till 7 o'clock. For Nick and Raheel, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.